However, more evidence is needed to substantiate this pessimistic view, and that's where the moon comes in. Only anthropic selection, the unavoidable observational bias that occurs because we must live on a habitable world, even if that requires some really odd features, can explain a benign moon. If properties of the moon, such as its size and distance, turn out to be fine-tuned to make Earth more habitable, this cannot be the result of feedback or of Gaia. There are no mechanisms to move the moon or modify its size to compensate for poor environmental conditions on Earth's surface. Lunar fine-tuning also cannot be the result of natural selection, because the moon is obviously not a living organism. An Earth-Moon system with particularly good biosphere-enhancing properties cannot even be the result of living in a life-friendly universe, because moons with other sizes or separations are entirely possible. We can see this just by looking around our own solar system. If the Earth-Moon system is fine-tuned for life with the size of the moon, for example, being just right, then at least one of Earth's chance peculiarities is a necessary precondition for the emergence of intelligent life. With this analysis, I had found a good reason for me, as a geoscientist, to investigate the moon, and it felt like coming home. I'm probably a bit of a moon bore, if truth be told, and I'm often astonished by friends' misconceptions. Many people, for example, believe that the moon only comes out at night, when in reality, it's up in the daytime just as much as it is at night. I'm also easily irritated by minor moon mistakes in novels. One book I've been trying to read recently has a half moon rising at twilight. This is simply not possible. If it rises around sunset, the moon must be nearly opposite the sun and will therefore be full. I've been struggling to take the rest of the book seriously ever since, which is a pity, as the mistake happens on page 5. Television is often not much better. The moon, seen through the bedroom window of Peppa Pig, my daughter's favourite cartoon character, is always a crescent illuminated on the left-hand side. But a crescent moon in the evening is lit from the west, which will be on the right side as seen from the northern hemisphere. Peppa, therefore, either lives in the southern hemisphere, despite the pig family's strong English accents, or she has an unreasonably late bedtime for such a young pig. These are trivial issues, of course, and it is childish of me to be annoyed by them, but they do illustrate how rarely modern people look at the sky. Our ancestors would never have made such mistakes.